Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. It is Sunday. It is, I don't know, Andrew. It's been a little while since we podcasted. Every few weeks? Month? I'm not sure. We had some stuff going on, and then we got real sad about losing 4 of 7. And that's what happens around here. When we get sad, sometimes we don't podcast. But, Andrew, I think we got something cooking here. I think we got something cooking.
Yeah. You were out of town and I was out of town. Things happen. But we watched the Jayhawks. So we have some collective thoughts that we need to get out to the public. And hopefully we will get this season back on track and this podcast season back on track as well. But so, Kevin, things have happened. Some guys have been declared officially gone. Some guys have left. Some guys have gotten hurt. The last time we talked, Ochai had not played a game yet. And now Ochai is probably going to go pro. So there's a lot that's happened in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I was actually just listening to the Ochai segment from our last podcast. If you remember, Andrew, it was the Choose Your Own Adventure podcast. So we had a take for everybody. And one of the takes was our season is going to be just fine because Ochai is the next coming of Michael Jordan. And we were right, I think. So here's a quote from you. Quote, this will be the savior of our season. A quote from me. Ochai is the next Michael Jordan. A quote from you. He's not the new LeBron. He's the new Michael Jordan. Forget Zion. He's a false prophet.
Right.
A quote from
Zion,
Kevin.
False prophet.
Ochai is the answer. He's the secret weapon. Watch out, Big 12. All of those things are right. Right? Yes.
arguably, Dedrick's the best player on the team. But Ochai is probably the best player on the team.
He's the next Michael Jordan. Like, he doesn't have Correct. To be the best player. Like, you know, Michael Jordan was pretty good when he was a freshman.
He had 23 points yesterday. Mm-hmm. Does that tell you anything?
Mm-hmm. 23. I'm just saying. His next time he's going to have 45.
Number 23 conspiracies, there's lots of number 23 conspiracies. This one's pretty good. So that's been the positive. There's been some negative.
A few.
In the past couple of weeks, particularly Silvio, particularly Marcus Garrett getting hurt. And most importantly, and then LeGerald Vick. But most importantly, we've lost games.
Yeah.
We've lost games to K-State. We lost a weird one to West Virginia. It's just we lost to Texas. We hadn't lost to Texas since 2014, Kevin.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
We lost to Kentucky. Four losses in the last seven.
I don't think we need to relitigate all of those losses. And I don't think anybody wants to. I think the thing we're going to do on this podcast, we're going to look forward. Now, we are going to give our quick takes on some of those things that you mentioned, Vic and Silvio and all those things, because I think it is a part of the season that we need to address. But for the large part, by and large, we're going to look forward a little bit. We're going to look at the schedule. We're going to look at kind of the Big 12, our odds to win, what we think we need to do to win a game on the freaking road. What's our lineup going to look like now because we have about half our dudes gone. We're going to get into all of that. But first, Andrew, I want to touch on this game yesterday, the Oklahoma State game. I was there. I think you were home with the baby, but I'm sure you were watching it. I thought that just a couple quick thoughts. One, you already talked about Ochai. That was a huge one. Dedrick had a great game. But, Andrew, we got to talk about Mitch.
Mitch is coming to play. Mitch doesn't get to play a whole lot. He hasn't got to play a whole lot this whole year. You know, this is a guy who was playing meaningful minutes last year in a run to the Final Four. But we haven't really got to see Mitch a whole lot this year. But yesterday, Mitch's third coming out party for the past three consecutive years. He always has one. But when we needed him, he came around. I mean, offensive rebounding, genuine hustle. He got his five fouls. If Mitch gets five fouls, that means that's great. I mean, it means he's been in the game and he's deserved to be in the game. You know, give him that standing ovation as he exits the game with five fouls. This is the type of play we need from him.
At least three of those fouls were really freaking good fouls too.
Right.
Like good fouls. I mean, there were a couple of things in there where he was like, you're not dunking in my house. Like, I will foul you, but you are not dunking in my house. Like, I love that. I loved that. And everyone in that stadium was digging it. I mean, he brought some swagger. He clearly came to play. He, and I think people fed off of it, man. You could, once he started doing that stuff, it was a whole different team. It really was. Like, people were hustling, people were running harder. He was the kind of, the spirit animal. I mean, he really was in that game.
Mitch is my spirit animal. He has been. He's always been. Here's a thought that we were talking about yesterday, me and a couple folks. I think Mitch just needs to gain a bunch of weight, not necessarily in muscle. Like, he needs to be like one of those fat Oklahoma State centers, you know, it's like pretty slow. Like, it's not all like pretty high body fat content that gets a lot of rebounds, because he's just not quite big enough to muscle people out of the way. And by muscle, I mean just like fat. He needs to just eat a bunch of cheeseburgers.
I love that.
Gain a bunch of weight. Like, Hootie's going to be mad at me for saying this, but like, not muscle.
No.
He just needs to look like Mitchell Solomon or the white guy from Texas or Ryan Spangler, or like, just, it's not all, you know, muscle. Like, he needs to look like that. I think he doesn't necessarily, he probably have to play fewer minutes. He's going to get tired quicker, but I think it's going to be beneficial for everyone.
McDonald's Mitch. Bring it.
McDonald's Mitch.
McDonald's Mitch. No more martini room Mitch. McDonald's Mitch is what we need. I actually really like that take a lot.
So just fat Mitch. I want fat Mitch. Because he's from Phoenix, but like, he's from kind of West Coast guy. He's probably eats like, you know, superfoods and acai bowls and, you know, grains. And I want Mitch to eat like Midwestern heifer, like Midwestern cheeseburgers, T-bone steaks. I want him to get fat, and I think he'll play better.
I like that take a lot. Okay, so we already talked about Ochai. We talked Diedrich had a heck of a game. I did have a take on the starting lineup.
So let's just before you get there. So I'll set it up for you. Starting lineup has changed and will have to change dramatically because LeGerald Vick is doing whatever he's doing. We'll talk about that later. Maybe he'll be back. Maybe he won't. But it seems like to me, and I'll pose this question to you, that the answer is going big, going with our big guys.
So I think so. Some of it will depend on Marcus Garrett and his timeline for return, but I loved this starting lineup, and it may not work every game, but the, you know, with McCormick starting, and I when I found out he was starting and he walks out there, and very clearly he was going to be the one doing the tip, right? Doing the jump ball. And I tweeted out, this is the just the tip starting lineup. No one got it. This is fine. It, you know, it's like two likes. And probably
it's got a funny connotation. It's
those like two people were like, just the tip.
It's very accurate.
So the point was, as I should have articulated for more likes, the just the tip starting lineup is literally, this lineup is just for the tip off. And right. Because I don't know if anyone's been paying attention, but Diedrich is not very good at getting the ball on tip offs.
No,
he's really bad.
If I remember right, since he's been doing it, I think he's got it twice. One legitimately.
Did he?
This was early on. This was in January sometime. Okay. One legitimately, and then one the other team. I think this was against K-State. The other guy tipped it, but Ochai swooped in. This was an Ochai was starting. So Ochai swooped in and grabbed it in front of him. So,
I remember that one. Had nothing to do with
totally
Diedrich.
Not deserved.
Yeah.
Not deserved. Was not a one tip by Diedrich. So Diedrich, because Diedrich doesn't really jump.
No. That's not his game.
But he's the only one who. Embarrassing if like Ochai or LeGerald were to do the tip.
I think Ochai should do the tip. I'm dead serious. But I do like the just the tip starting lineup. Here's the other reason I like it. And actually Bill Self alluded to it. I told my wife this while we were sitting there, but she's like, well, what, you know, later on, she's like, well, do you think McCormick will continue to start because how good Mitch is playing? I said, yeah, for two reasons. One, the tip thing. And two, he's going to hit three fouls before the under 16 timeout if he starts. And then self afterwards actually alluded to it. He's like, I didn't want to get Mitch in foul trouble early, so we're going to start David. And so it may not happen every time, but I really like the idea of the just the tip starting lineup.
I like it too. And who knows what it'll be in the future with Marcus Garrett hopefully coming back and Vic hopefully coming back. But man, it's rough. This lineup, this roster is rough. Remember early on in the season, we were talking about, you know, we could have our bench be competitive in the Big 12. Now we're scraping. We don't even know what to do.
Yeah, at one time people were saying Mitch and Ochai are the red shirts, right?
Right.
They were right. The two best players yesterday.
Yeah. Mitch should redshirt.
They were the two best players.
To take on that same mentality, which is a very arrogant Kansas mentality, but hey, that's what this podcast is all about, is that you could take the guys who are on our bench or missing, LeGerald Vick, Marcus Garrett, Silvio De Sousa, and Udoka Azubuike, and throw you in as the fifth player, that team may win the Big 12.
I was thinking about this yesterday, actually, as they were all standing there in their street clothes. And I was thinking, my first thought was, wow, that's a good team, because I had the exact same thought. And second thought was, could that reserve team beat last year's reserve team, which was also pretty good?
Of the Lawsons and, well, Charlie Moore and... Who else?
And we'll just say that Silvio was part of that at one point.
Oh, Silvio was part. Okay, yeah. So Silvio has to play himself.
Yeah.
But so that knocks itself out, and you knock. So you're also on the team. you knock yourself out. So
I think me last year would have been better than me this year. I'm just going to throw that out there.
So that's going to be pretty tough. Those are good lineups.
That's a good lineup.
Going tit for tat. You know, going down the lineup. I have a theory that I don't think I've said on the podcast, and I don't think I've told you this, but it's about KJ. KJ got some minutes yesterday. KJ got some minutes yesterday, right? He came in, he did, I don't know. He did okay. He's fine. I think he's going to get more minutes as he kind of sorts himself out with the team. But KJ is the best player on the team, Kevin.
You've made this take before on the podcast.
For on the podcast?
Yes.
Just to reiterate, KJ is the older brother.
It was KJ a terrible take at that time.
He thinks he's better than Dedrick, and Dedrick's the best player on the team. Therefore, apropos, KJ's the best player on the team in KJ's mind.
I'm pretty sure you made that point in the last podcast. I know that was a long time ago, though.
I'm just advocating for my boy, for the older brother, KJ.
I get it. I'll let you.
That's all my KJ takes. I'm done with KJ.
You can only do that one more time. You get to do three KJ takes this year. You're up to two already.
All right, that's a good limit.
That's about the right number. So we won yesterday, Andrew. That was good. We beat Texas Tech last Saturday. That was good. We're pretty good at home, but Andrew, the away game thing. Woof. I think we'll get into that a little bit, but we still have some more away games left in this season. What?
Oh, man.
Really? I know. It sucks.
You know, our one away win this year is against Baylor early on in the Big 12 season.
Yeah, that looks better.
When it seemed like Baylor wasn't going to be very good, but Baylor is up there now. I think they're one game ahead of us or half a game ahead of us in the Big 12 standings. They should have beat K-State yesterday, but Baylor does what Baylor does. If they would have beat K-State yesterday, it would have put things on track per KenPom for five teams to finish 11-7 and tied for the Big 12 title.
It still might happen.
Yeah. So K-State's, I think, got the edge right now, but it's close to that happening.
Yeah. It would have sure have been nice if Baylor would have won that game. They were shorthanded. Definitely. I think were they without three guys too? Kind of like us.
They were without two really important guys.
Yeah. So anyway, that would have been nice, but K-State's going to drop another couple games, right? What do you think?
Right.
I mean, they play us at home, so if we don't win that game, we don't deserve anything. And they deserve to win the Big 12 if they win that game. So I think that's an obvious one. And then, Andrew, they got a couple other games. You know, honestly, their lineup's not, or their schedule's not as bad as I thought it was. They get Iowa State at home. They play Texas away on Tuesday, so that's a big one. KenPom has them projected to lose that game. And then they play TCU away as well. And they got them projected to lose that one. Otherwise, Andrew, it's Baylor at home. It's Oklahoma State at home. It's West Virginia away. I mean, it's not. They don't have to play Texas Tech anymore. They got to play us once. And they get Iowa State at home. So, I mean, I think if you line up our lineup or our schedules, there's
maybe a little more difficult. But
might be a touch more difficult only because they have to play us away. I think otherwise it's pretty close.
Right. So we need them to drop a couple, especially at home. Like if we could get them to drop, you know, maybe Iowa State at home, that puts Iowa State in a good position. You know, it all kind of evened out. You know, something we can't really control. All we can control is our schedule ahead of us. And we got to win some road games. You're not going to win this game. You're not going to win this league at 9-9. Winning all your games at home and then losing them all on the road. So it's going to be difficult. We're going to have to win at Oklahoma. We're going to have to win, you know, at Texas Tech, potentially. These are all going to be pretty difficult.
So we're talking
TCU on Monday, TCU tomorrow.
Yeah, we're already talking schedule, so let's knock this out. We got, like you said, TCU Monday. That's huge. I mean, that's an away game. It's a coin flip on KenPom, 50-50. So that will be, if we lose that game, Andrew, I think most people are probably writing Kansas off in terms of having a chance to win another share of the Big 12 title. Would you agree? I think it's going to be real tough.
I mean, I don't think it's impossible, but man, it sets us back.
It's close to a must win at this point, right?
Right.
If there's a must win left with eight games left, that's it. So we play TCU. Then we got, you know, West Virginia at home, whatever. We should win that game, hopefully, for God's sakes. We got Texas Tech away. And that's the other one that we got to figure out a way. I think you got to win one of those two, right? TCU, Texas Tech. And to have any chance. If you win both of them, Andrew, you're back in a good spot, right?
Absolutely.
And those, because we close with Oklahoma State away, Oklahoma away, who has not been playing well, and Baylor at home. So, you know, if we somehow can go on that TCU, West Virginia, Texas Tech, K-State schedule of 3-1, you know, I think we're in a really good spot. We just got to figure out a way to win a couple road games and beat K-State at home. If that happens, I think we're right back in there. If it doesn't, Andrew, I think we got to start realistically saying this ain't the year for the Big 12 streak. And, you know, who knows what happens with the NCAAs and all that nonsense, vacated wins, et cetera. But, you know, the streak might come to an end this year. And I think most people are starting to realize that that's a very strong likelihood, but we've pulled him out before, right? And so there's still a path.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible.
There's a path.
And you know, maybe we can just like have, you know, these other four teams tie for the title, and then they can just be satisfied for a while and just let us win about 15 more.
Yeah.
And everybody gets a share it every once in a while, satisfy their fan base, and Kansas just gets to win 30 in a row. Unlikely, but I guess it kind of goes to show how difficult it is for us to do this year with this roster. You know, at the beginning of the year looked great, but how difficult it is to win the Big 12 and how difficult it is to win the Big 12 14 times in a row. Incredibly difficult. So this is the struggles that we're going through now should make us appreciate, you know, what's been going on since 2005. Take that into consideration. But I'd like to win. I'd like to win the Big 12. It's not over. And I think we've got a pretty good roster that's starting to come around with Ochai and Diedrich obviously playing, you know, solid every night. But and then Mitch coming around and other guys playing up to their potential, excluding Quentin Grimes. Dotson's looking good. Everybody else looking pretty good. So we just got to put it all together, have a good, you know, rest of the February and early March, and we'll see where we are.
So let's talk about Vic. Let's get that one out of the way. Of course, you all probably know by now, but he's taking a leave of absence from the team. It was sort of an interesting statement from the athletics department and Bill Self. Nothing really came out from Vic's side, but it does sound like it was something about, you know, Vic had to take care of some stuff on the home front. I don't think we should probably speculate much. I've heard some things. I don't think it's probably appropriate for me to say those things on a podcast without, you know, knowing for sure. And even then probably still wouldn't say it, but I think let's talk about the basketball angle. And then let's talk about the Gerald Vic angle.
Right. Well, one just quick thing about it is that from those things that you and I have heard, it seems like that it's realistic that he could come back.
Maybe. Yeah. I think the best case scenario is he comes back for postseason. I would be surprised if he comes back before then. And frankly, 50-50 that he comes back at all. What do you think?
Yeah, probably
50-50.
Right. And it's just so weird. I mean, if he was kicked off the team, he'd be kicked off the team. But Bill Self did say that they are practicing and strategizing for the future as if they're assuming he's not coming back. But that's just, you know, that's how you have to play it.
Yeah.
Like you have to do it, not necessarily the way things are going to be. But, you know, it's very interesting and very unfortunate. I don't know the full story. And like you said, inappropriate to speculate. But, man, what's going on with this team?
Well,
when that news came out, it's just like, can anything else go wrong?
I know. It's ridiculous. I'm not even going to ask that question anymore because the answer apparently is yes. I think
it can always be worse.
LeGerald. You know, some people are like, addition by subtraction. He's a mess. He's a head case, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
disagree.
I disagree, too. I think you need the depth, if anything. Even if he comes back, Andrew, and I get this. I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but he may not start. You know, if they get things rolling, not that they're going to get things rolling, but if they get some, a lineup that seems to be working pretty well, I think he obviously becomes part of the rotation just because he adds some athleticism and he had some experience and obviously he's a good 3-point shooter. But you know, maybe he doesn't start when he comes back, you know, maybe they get something going where he's now become sort of a energy role player guy. I don't know if that'll be the case or not, but we'll see. And frankly, you know, as we've talked about, LeGerald hasn't been November LeGerald in a while. He's had a couple of good games, but he seems like the last few games, he's sort of been kind of floating along. Do you agree with that?
Especially at K-State.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times where even the most casual basketball fan would be able to recognize that he was a liability on the floor, especially defensively. Offensively, didn't really do a whole lot.
Shot clock violations in his hand, holding the ball in his hand still. I mean, just...
Right. Just like...
what are you doing?
Very, very freshman-like behavior. You know, I think that there was a moment where he and Dotson got mixed up on whose man, I guess it was on a screen, but whose man that each one of them should have followed. And they kind of pointed at each other, blaming each other for it. And I can tell you who Bill Self blamed, because LeGerald Vick came immediately out of the game.
Yeah.
After that. So it just things like that. I don't know the full story, but maybe he's got to go get his head right, whatever it is. I mean, I hate to conflate the two. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just how LeGerald Vick plays. But, you know, got to get right. And this team's got to get right, whether it's with or without LeGerald.
Totally agree. All right, let's move on from that. Let's touch on the Silvio stuff. We found out that, so Silvio's, I guess, suspended for 2 seasons. Effectively that might end or probably ends his time in college, unless they can get an appeal that comes back in a different result. But Andrew, I mean, I guess what was your first reaction to the news and I guess, do you think he's done at Kansas if this ultimately holds?
If it ultimately holds, he's done at Kansas. I mean, I think that there's no question about it. I think that would give him 1 year of eligibility left, or two. You have, what do you have? 4 years or 5 years to play for? He's played half a year. This, if he would to stick around, he'd play in the 2020-2021 season, which just that seems like the science fiction of future right now. It doesn't even exist in my head yet. He'll have to go do something else but he can stay on scholarship. He can continue to be with the team. He just can't play. So maybe they play it out, and maybe they hold out for the appeal and hope he can play next year. But I don't know. But my initial reaction was not surprised. The NCAA has been pretty strict on these things as of recently. And the only reason I say that, there's a Miami kid who took like $500 from somebody and was suspended for the year. And so for this to be $2,500 and it to last this long, I wasn't expecting any leniency by the NCAA on this. That being said, this is the first time they've applied what they're calling the Cam Newton rule, which is, even though the player doesn't know about it and money was transferred, you can still get in trouble. This is, of course, named for Cam Newton, whose dad or guardian or somebody took $200,000 and Cam Newton was able to play in the national championship game.
Yeah.
$200,000, able to play in the national championship game. This was a deal with Silvio's guardian took $2,500 for an online class. And Sylvia didn't even know about it. Just the differences in how the worlds have been portrayed in the last, you know, Cam Newton was at 2010, 2012.
Yeah, something like that. I'm with you. I was not surprised either. I think that any range of outcomes would have been possible, but the one that him being cleared was probably one of the lowest of my expectations. I think it's tough, right? Because, you know, the Cam Newton rule, you hear everyone, you know, watch Twitter, KU Twitter was obviously not very happy. And then people were like, but he didn't know. And I tend to think of it, I hate to say it, kind of like the NCAA does. If we're going to have these amateurism rules and you allow that to happen, I mean, that would just create the blueprint, right? Going forward, like, you know, the kid didn't know. So it's cleared every time that they want to do that. So I don't know. It's tough to separate your KU fandom from that, but I get it. I think I understand the ruling. I think 2 years is a little harsh. I figured it would either be a commuting of the games that he's had so far as part of his suspension, and then maybe they, you know, add on a couple, or they'd clear, or they'd, you know, wipe out this season. I think two seasons is a little bold. But you know, I think the point was of the NCAA is we don't want him to play for Kansas. I mean, that was basically what they're saying, right? And some people have said, well, if that was the case, why didn't they just say he can't play for Kansas, but he's old, you know, he's got a free ticket to go wherever he wants, you know, to play next year. Honestly, I would have probably been fine with that result. I think it would have made sense. I think they are kind of obviously penalizing the kid for something he probably didn't know about. And that sucks. It really sucks. And you know, the one thing about it on the appeal, it's not NCAA staff that hears the appeal. It's like, I don't know, Andrew, some administrators from some schools, a couple of lawyers. I mean, it's like a weird appeal board that they use. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll revise the suspension a little bit. I suspect it will not be a clear reversal, but maybe they lower it a little bit. Who knows? But I think,
yeah. I mean, I think the best we can hope for is that he gets to play in the next year. I mean, yeah. I think it's out of the question that he plays this year, just in terms of timing and how that all works. I mean, they're going to do their appeal, and it's going to take them weeks or months to even for the board to come to a conclusion and then issue that conclusion. So maybe in the summer we can find out if he plays, but it's a lot. And you know, this is probably a topic we should discuss in the future, not now, but you know, the common thread and some things coming out is, you know, do these schools need the NCAA right now for this? I mean, with Netflix being a player and with Amazon being a player, can the top 64 teams or top 32 teams form their own thing, get a streaming deal or get a deal with CBS to air all the games and have KU play Duke twice a year and play North Carolina twice a year and pay the kids, you know, out of that money outside the NCAA structure? I was initially opposed to it until this thing happened. Well, I've come around the last couple of years, but you know, with the amount of money that folks make on this, it's kind of ridiculous that there's not something going back. And this is, you know, conflating two issues between the Silvio issue and the general amateurism issue. But you know, for a kid to kind of be taken advantage like that by Adidas, by the Guardian, by whoever else, maybe Kansas is involved somehow. It's unfortunate because he really did want to get an education. I mean, there's something about that, and they are taking that away from him for something that he didn't have any culpability for. So I don't know, something we should talk about down the line. Maybe you and I can be the commissioners of this league.
Yes.
We can put this together pretty easily.
Yes, although I got to say, Andrew, your example, unless it's a neutral court, Duke ain't coming to Allen Fieldhouse. They would rather not be part of that whole deal.
A firm iron hand by the commissioner, we can make this happen.
As long as Coach K's there, they're not going to play any road games.
Coach Jeff Capel, the new coach in 2 years, will have to agree to our demands.
Bagman. There's the Bagman. Andrew, I guess one last point on this to put a bow. Are you concerned at all, and we'll keep this very short because I think it's obviously way too early to tell. But as a result of this ruling on Silvio, does it make you more concerned about the ultimate NCAA hammer that is probably going to come down on Kansas?
Oh, yes.
Me too. Me too. I think it's going to be worse than we expect. I said that the day this Silvio stuff came out, I said, guys, I think we're in trouble. I think there's something definitely brewing. And the only reason I say that, like, whatever, if we lose a scholarship, we lose a banner, they take some games away, whatever. It would suck, but it would, we could get past it. The thing I'm concerned about, Andrew, is if it's so bad that Bill Self's like, screw this. Like, I don't need this. I got my wins. I got my title. I got my millions. I'm going to go do a retirement gig and, taking over for Pop, or I'm going to go, whatever. I'm going to go play golf. And he's the kind of guy that, like, it wouldn't floor me if he did that. Right. But
I mean, similar to like Bob Stoops type of deal, before his time walks away, he didn't have to deal with recruiting anymore. Didn't have to deal with the garbage that comes.
He's a Hall of Famer, man. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's already a Hall of Famer. Does he have to wait for it? Need?
I know. Right. That's what scares me most about this whole thing is it's more like, is this going to be so bad that it turns into a Larry Brown situation? Larry Brown's like, screw this. I got my title and now I'm out of here. And we've been through that. A lot of people listening to this podcast weren't alive, but we've been through that. And we'll see what happens. That's just something that definitely back in my mind that a little concerned about after seeing this whole thing go through. Let's move on to something else, Andrew. Yesterday, the bracket reveal. What are they calling this thing?
I don't know, early reveal or early committee. It's just something to, create content, have CBS, people write articles about it and get eyeballs on things.
So the point is here that the bracket came out with the top 16 teams, the four seeds and better, and KU was on the three seed line. They mentioned, I think, that they were in the debate for the last number two, but ultimately they did not get into the two line. They made it to the three line. I think you and I had a debate it might have been on this podcast, or maybe it was at a bar. Hard to say, kind of get the two confused sometimes, about what KU seed is going to be. I think we set the over under at 3.5, didn't we? Or did we set it at 3? I feel like it was 3.
I don't remember, but that's probably a good number.
I think we set it at 3.
So if it's 3 or 3.5, either way, I mean, it really depends on how the season goes from here. I mean, if we are very competitive, win a lot of games, but maybe fall short of the Big 12 title, we're probably, maybe a 3, maybe a 2, just because of what wins we have. If we win the Big 12, we're probably guaranteed a 2 or a 3. One's probably out of the question, but a 2 or a 3. But if we kind of sink and don't get any better, lose some of these games, don't win any away games, then we're going to sink to 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8. I doubt we go that far with the wins we have. Tennessee,
I don't think it'll
Marquette,
be an 8.
Villanova.
We're going to win our home games. I mean, worst Texas case scenario, State. I think we're a 5, probably, right?
Probably.
Worst case scenario?
Probably. But, I mean, if we get up to the 2 line, we probably get to play in Kansas City.
That's the key. That was just going to go there. This year matters more than any year, I think, to try to get in the Midwest and try to make sure we get in KC. I would actually prefer a 4 seed in KC than a 3 seed anywhere else. Right.
Right.
I look forward to, if we can somehow get in KC, I think I would drop a line and be just fine with that. And I don't even care what 1 seed's in there, because if we make it that far to see the 1 seed, I think most people would be pretty happy with the result, right? I think
absolutely.
Most people are like, this team ain't even getting through the first weekend. I'm not sure I'm there yet. But if we find our way into a friendly region, if we lose to the 1 seed, whatever. I mean, that would not surprise anyone, and probably would surprise some folks just the fact that they made it that far. So we'll see. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. The 3 seed is probably right based on the wins. I mean, we beat Tennessee. We got You know, Michigan State win that looks better and better. We got some, you know, obviously some wins in the Big 12 that look pretty good. So we'll see where that ends up. Just thought that was interesting. Andrew, where do you want to take this from here?
We've kind of hit all the highlights for basketball. Just a few brief moments before we go on some football.
Wait. I got one more basketball take.
Okay.
How do we win on the road?
How do we win on the road?
Yeah. What's it going to take, Andrew, Kevin, to win a basketball game on the road?
All right. Are you ready for this? I've got the secrets of the universe are going to come out of my mouth right now. I'm going to tell you how this basketball team is going to win on the road. They're going to score more points than the other guys.
Is that how that works?
That's how that works. I don't know how we're going to win on the road. I mean, it's tough. I've always said this. It's tough to win on the road in the Big 12. I mean, we've been lucky in the sense that in previous years, you know, we win our 9 games at home and then we win, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the road and we win the Big 12. I mean, if you do that, you'll win every year. This year, it's just been a lot harder. And, you know, yesterday we started, or in the past, was it yesterday or whatever? We started 4 freshmen. And yeah, freshmen struggle on the road. I mean, it's just like, you know, maybe false prophet Zion Williamson doesn't struggle on the road, but everyone else in the world does. And everyone else in the world who are freshmen have done for years and years. And this is just how it works. And so when you're relying on so much from your freshmen and from turnover prone veterans like LeGerald, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, it obviously impacts how they play. So they've got to grow up. They've got to play not like freshmen. You know, this is the time of the year where Bill Self and, you know, coaches like him will say, nope, you're no longer a freshman. You're a veteran now. You've paid your dues. Here you are. So they really have to play that way. To earn that, they need to not turn the ball over. Because I think we would have beat K-State if we just didn't turn the ball over. I think the shots were falling when they needed to fall. I think we played pretty good defense. Pretty good first shot defense, but the turnovers, if we have 25 turnovers a game, we're never going to win again.
I think we found something in this Oklahoma State game. Maybe it's just, you know, recency bias, and I had really good seats. I was in the sixth row, so I, you know, was up close with watching the team in that second half. I feel like we found something. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's Mitch, but I think Mitch is a part of it. I think that you know, there was so much better energy in that second half. Just the team looked like they were a Kansas team, and it's been a while since we've seen that. I mean, obviously they played really well against Texas Tech, but a bunch of shots were falling in that game. It wasn't like an energy type of thing. It was just like we were just making shots, and we played well. I mean, don't get me wrong, but for some reason I felt like that Oklahoma State game was something new, and I hope they bottle that up. Andrew, I just looked it up. TCU game on Monday. Most of you are listening to this on Monday. TCU is a 2-point favorite on the opening overseas lines. And that probably feels about right. But
yep, I think that feels right.
I think I'm going to take Kansas straight up. I think Kansas got something. I really do. I don't know. Again, probably recency bias. But if they could bring that same kind of game that they played in that second half, and that's what's on their mind, right? That's what they remember. I think we got something potentially cooking. We'll see.
I like it.
Now you can talk about your football take if you'd like.
Football. Excited about this recruiting class. Just the fact that it came together so quick and that we got everyone that we wanted. Now, if you look at the rankings, we're like ranked 60th, which we've had 60th ranked classes before. So it's like not big a deal in that context, but we had nobody. We were ranked like the 121st team in recruiting, and we got up to 60th. And like, there's a lot of, you know, interesting guys coming in. Let's just focus on the one guy from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, the guy from Tulsa, who came to his signing day conference with a K-State sweatshirt on, uh-huh, and then a Texas Tech T-shirt, homemade T-shirt on underneath that, and then he had KU painted on his chest, his bare chest. You saw this, right?
I did.
First of all, huge douche move, but I kind of like it.
Like, enormous douche move, right? We're on the same page about that.
Isn't
any KU fan like, that was not a douche move? Because, like, come on. It was obviously.
I mean, it was awesome, but it was like kind of a douche move.
I mean, he's our douche now. Well, that's all that matters, right? Like,
we got to defend him now. He's our guy.
He's our guy. He's our douche. Yeah. I thought that was great, and it got a lot of publicity too. I mean, it saw it on a bunch of sports blogs that day. Pretty funny, Andrew. You're right. I think considering we started this class with basically zero when Les was hired, you got to be pretty happy with what we got, especially considering we got a lot of guys. I mean, we only had what, like 8 scholarships or something. I can't remember. It was something, not very many. It may have been a little bit more than that. Might've been up to like 12 or 15. It was not very many though. We had 19 sign. So that means we obviously had several preferred walk-ons, et cetera. But the fact that we got 19 guys somehow, and literally going from 0 to 19, and Andrew, as you mentioned, got up in the top 60 in terms of recruiting, top half, in the NCAA, that's the recruiting rankings take into account the amount of 3- and 4-star or 5-star guys. It's not just necessarily the average number of 3- and 4-star guys. So that means we actually got, a pretty good class, as you mentioned. And so, I'll take that. I'll take that. And really something to grow on. We did get Stephen Parker, 4-star outside linebacker out of Dallas over Nebraska. Loved that. I was sitting next to a Nebraska fan when that came across the wire, and made sure I showed him that headline. And that was, yeah, so that's a win. We got the Gavin Parter kid, as you mentioned, from another 3-star linebacker. We'll see where it goes, but that's a good start.
It's a good start. So if we went from 120th to 60th, next year we're going to go from 60th to first. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go from first to Indianapolis Colts.
Okay. That works for me.
Deal?
Deal.
No, I think he's doing a pretty good job, especially with an offensive coordinator switch in the middle of that recruiting period. Yeah. Goes a long way, and obviously he didn't have a bunch of time, but if he got all the guys he wanted, let's just do it again. Let's start up the heavy recruiting for next year, and you'll see where we end up. And I think we'll be put on the right track. We've had similar recruiting classes in the past, but I feel this one feels different. This one feels like it's a turnaround that, Les set out to do what he wanted to do. And, he got everyone he wanted. So, spring game set for April. You going to go? I haven't been to a spring game in forever, but I feel like I'm going to go now.
Yeah, I feel like it works out. I'll go.
If it works out, it's going to be on a Saturday. Take your son to a spring game. Have him enjoy it.
Yeah.
A nice spring air.
Yeah. If it works out, I'm there. The one thing I will say is they are selling some tickets.
Yeah.
They've already sold about as much. I think I read they've already sold about the amount of season tickets already this year that they sold all of last year.
Right. That makes sense. I don't know if I've renewed yet. I can't remember. I got to talk to my brother, see if we've pulled the trigger. But the question is, they wanted us to buy 3 years.
Yeah. Loyalty pricing, baby.
Loyalty pricing. So we wouldn't have to pay everything, but we have to commit to 3 years. I think we were going to go ahead and do that, but I don't know.
Yeah. You might as well. Might as well. We'll see where that goes, Andrew. We'll talk spring game and football when we get a little closer to spring game and football.
Football!
Football school. Football, and football school.
We're football school now.
Football school.
I don't know if anyone knows this.
Football school. Andrew, hopefully we get a win tomorrow against TCU. Most of you are listening to this on Monday. Maybe some of you are listening to it on Tuesday. So you'll know, and hopefully you'll be happy to know that we predicted it accurately. And if we didn't, hopefully you stopped the podcast before this time. Andrew, I think we're going to put something together here. I think we got something cooking. I could be wrong here. Maybe, and usually I'm not like positive fan guy, but I think we got something cooking. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's Ochai's team now.
It's the Ochai effect, man.
Ochai's team. Ochai's team.
All right. We'll catch you the next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Thanks as always for listening and rock job. It's for my Jayhawk fans. For my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans. For my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans. For my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court.
I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players and did the same for the fans.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing. And look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court, so we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together, but win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.